The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you and happy Thanksgiving. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland live from Bar Canada at the D. How you doing?
Hey-o.
Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Happy Thanksgiving. I love that you're doing this every morning because
I'm committed.
You are committed.
Oh, yeah.
At this point to it. But like,
wait till Tu B'Shvat rolls around.
But Thanksgiving is it's a great week. It is a great week. So I'm very okay with you going full like birthday week on it.
Yeah. By the way, that was a joke for a few out there. They enjoyed it tremendously. On the show today, JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, host of Hardwood Handicappers. You know anything about that podcast? Anything?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
He's also our
yesterday.
What's that?
Said I made an appearance yesterday.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Kelly's the co-host of that podcast, and JVT will be with us as not only the senior NBA analyst, but as one who hosts a couple college football shows during the weekend. We will talk to him about college ball. What a weekend of football, pro and college. Oh, boy. Rivalry week in college football. Will Hill with all of his bets, pro in college. He's got a bevy as we roll up into the Megapod today, a day early after the show. We'll do it with Will Hill, Todd Wishnev, and Chris Velika from Fox Sports, our rotating guest today. Mike Pritchard on the show today, Jason Weingarten, and the return by popular demand of Right Angle Sports college basketball releases live on air today on the show about an hour plus from now. Let's say an hour and 15 minutes from now. Michael Craig will be here. And you remember, if you're a longtime listener of the show, how this works. Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports will come on. He will give us a rotation number because college basketball is, you know, massive in terms of its slate of games. He will let us know. He will give us some moments to get to that particular game. And then he will tell us if it's a go or if it's just some fakakta thing and he's going to move on to the next game.
Yeah, go or cancel. Go or cancel.
They didn't say fakakta. He says cancel?
Yeah.
Okay. So he'll say cancel. I was just curious. And if it's a cancel, and the reason, by the way, that Right Angle Sports does this is because they want to be able to get this specifically when they do this for clients, that clients get it first and not someone else. They'll do the same process with us on the show. If it is a cancel, we'll move on to the next one and we'll go from there. It's happened. What do you say the most times we did it last year? Do it happen like three or four times on one of these where we went like three cancels and then finally?
Yeah, I think you're about right. Yeah. It wasn't a ton, but it was a few times.
There was a couple people who thought if he canceled the first, he was absolutely a go on the second one, and they would like try to get ahead of it. But don't do that. It'll give us 30 seconds to get prepared, and we'll go from there. There's the rules right there on the screen. If you're watching, add the bet to your bet slip. You'll have 30 seconds to find it, go or cancel. If it's a go, you bet immediately. If it's a cancel, not a bet, remove it from the bet slip. You will see that this moves markets globally on college basketball. Right Angle Sports has that kind of juice, that kind of gravitas.
It is wild.
It's pretty incredible.
It is wild. I have my Don Best screen back here, and it just lights up like a Christmas tree whenever we do this.
And that's not like you rando in sports betting media, but I just move the market with my opinion. Right. This is like legit moves the whole thing.
And yes, these games, these guys usually play too, right? They're not as heavily bet into games, so they go and release, and it's like, whoa!
By the way, like hopefully after that they win, right? That's the real point.
Still got to get home, yep.
But they still got to get home. That's it. Okay, let's start the show here today. Well, first, before I get into this MVP, because I did make a NFL MVP bet. Did you happen to catch the Pacers game yesterday?
Ooh, or what do you happen to catch it? Come on, it was appointment viewing. It was appointment viewing for me yesterday, Gil, from the beginning, and I couldn't have possibly thought it was going to live up to the hype. No, nay, surpass it, okay?
Nay. Nay. Oh, good use of nay.
Nay, surpass.
Can you spell nay, by the way?
N-A-Y.
N-E-I-G-H, I believe.
Fine.
Well, that too. You might be right. I don't know. I think I'm right, though. So I actually mentioned this with Drew when Drew Dinsick was on the show yesterday. And we were talking about the Wizards and how unserious the Wizards are and how the only team I said that gives up more points per game than the Wizards, it happens to be the Pacers. The Pacers are a more serious version of the unserious Wizards. The preflop total on this Pacers-Hawks game last night was 253. I got a text from my buddy Michael Montesano yesterday. He goes, the in-game number is 293.5. Yep. You got to watch this. How about 309? Pacers 157, the Hawks 152. I would have loved Romeo, by the way, who works here at the D, is doing his dance behind the bar, who works with us, because apparently he had something on this. This, I wish I was present for most of this because this would have been an overfest. You were not part of an overfest.
Yeah, it was. I got in one live bet on it, but it was one of those. I had the Hawks, a Hawks pregame, and then a Hawks live bet. So I kind of split those when the Atlanta fell behind. They were leading for most of the game. I got in live. I'm trying to remember what my number was because it was like 280 something. It was 280. I think it was 282 and a half is what I got over on. So it was. I waited until pretty, you know, well into the game because these guys were. They just weren't missing, you know, and we often talk about, you know, live betting NBA. OK, expect some of these shooting numbers to regress one way or the other. And it was like 60% field goal percentages. But it got to a point where the pace was so fast up and down. And like, Gil, it was like, hey, come set a screen for me. OK. And the other guy goes under the screen when you know the guy's just going to take a jump shot. So it was like wide open three pointer after wide open three pointer.
This is good for basketball, right? Offense.
Yeah.
They're not going to win the title, either of these teams, but it's good for basketball.
You're not winning a title this way, but no. For NBA regular season, right. I'll take as many of these games as you want to give me.
Let's not get crazy. It was the opposite of that Kansas-Marquette game yesterday, which was just an underfest down the stretch, which Marquette ends up blowing out Kansas in the ballgame. Number one ranked Kansas. College basketball is in great shape right now with some of these entertaining games. By the way, Tennessee couldn't. All they did was hoist threes down the stretch of their game versus Purdue, which was really... which was very odd yesterday as well. I'll be at the Pepperdine game today, Dollar Loan Center. While you're watching those kinds of teams today, I'll be at the Dollar Loan Center watching Pepperdine. Let's go, Michael Ajayi and Houston Millette against Indiana State.
So I love that arena. I haven't been back since we saw Wemby there. But it's great. I was just telling Sean yesterday, Sean McCollum does our audio, great audio op. I was like, he was talking about a couple of the tournaments that are going on there soon. I was like, yep. I'm getting over there for a couple games.
I got this. I got a podcast. I'm going to the Pepperdine game. I got, you know, I'll get a Betts giving bet in eventually. That's all I'm saying.
There you go. I got a feeling already. I got a feeling.
There you go. Okay. I made an NFL MVP bet 2 days ago. Let me just give you the background. I had my pre-flop season-long NFL bets. The Carolina Panthers 15-1 is the last winless already cashed. Giants alternate season win total under looks good. The other ones, not so much. The only ones that I've made in season, I made a few in season. I made Puka to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. That's not going to happen. Stroud's going to win that. And then I did the whole thing early in the year where I'm like, I'm going to do Tyreek for MVP, Brock Purdy for Offensive Player of the Year at really long odds. I think 75-1-ish on both. I am going to show that I'm smarter than the room. Well, guess what? I'm not. None of those are going to get home. And the reason for that is a lot of that is we have Aaron Schatz on. Aaron Schatz is not only the founder of Football Outsiders, but he's also a football award voter from the Associated Press. So he's one of the 50 people that votes on all of these NFL awards. And with our multiple appearances with him, both on the Megapod and here on a numbers game, what has become clearer than ever is that these guys, and he doesn't represent everybody, but he represents where it's going with more analytics-based voters. And as a result of that, again, I've said this, it is not my job to crusade for I think Tyreek Hill is the MVP. And by the way, I do, but it doesn't matter. I'm trying to win a bet.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to help people win bets.
Micah Parsons did back you up yesterday.
Micah Parsons says that Tyreek Hill is the MVP. And here's the case for Tyreek Hill. No one's ever gotten 2,000 yards receiving. He may end up with 200-300 yards more than that. He is very much intent on getting past 2,000 yards. That's awesome, especially in a year where nobody else of the real names like Hurts and Mahomes and Allen is really standing out. The counter argument, though, is this. It's the fact, first of all, that, you know, I want to be consistent. When I was talking about baseball years ago, people who have listened to this show enough remember that I've said in 2012 and 2013, if you listen to the podcast way back when, but even on a numbers game, I used to bring this up 5 years ago, which is in 2012, when it was Miguel Cabrera versus Mike Trout in Major League Baseball, I said you have to give the MVP to Miguel Cabrera. It was the big debate that year because for 45 years in baseball, we've talked about this hallowed triple crown. Now you've got somebody doing it. You can't forget after 45 years, just randomly, you're going to go to these newfangled analytics. So they did give it to Cabrera. I was right about that. And then after that, you can give it to Trout all you want. 2,000 yards in receiving ain't that. if we're being honest, we're just kind of making that up as a threshold. Football is not a stats-driven thing like it is in baseball. So if Tyreek Hill breaks that, the other counter-argument is, yeah, but A.J. Brown and CeeDee Lamb might only be a few hundred yards behind him anyway.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, when Cooper Kupp did win, speaking of triple crowns, the receiving triple crown 2 years ago, he didn't get the MVP, got the Offensive Player of the Year. Now it's voted. The real thing is it's voted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 now. And that'll be a way for voters to get Tyreek Hill in there without having to give it to him. What do I really think is going to happen in the voting? Who do I think is going to benefit from a splintered vote where no one has really outshined the competition? I think it's going to be my offensive player of the year guy, Brock Purdy, who I think is way better than most people do. And Brock Purdy now, after a perfect game in terms of passer rating this last week at 158.3, first time a Niner has done that since 1989, Joe Montana. If you want analytics voters, here they are. Yes, in the standard counting stats, he's sixth in passing yards. He's four behind the lead in touchdowns. But he's first in passer rating. Oh, by the way, he's first in total QBR, if you prefer that. He's first in completion percentage. He's first in touchdown per attempts. He's first in yards per attempt. He's first in yards per completion. Brock Purdy is the guy who I believe benefits the most from a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 vote and a vote that will not have a consensus number one guy. And so I bet Brock Purdy at 16-1 over there at BetMGM. And Kelly, they respected my money and my bet so much that they moved it to 16-1, meaning they didn't move it at all. You can still get it at that number. That's the case for Brock Purdy for me. Not trying to win some crusade, just trying to win a bet. We'll come back. JVT on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. If you're a smoker or a dipper looking to ditch the ashtray or spit cup, look no further than Zyn. Zyn's made with six simple ingredients and is available in a wide range of varieties, including spearmint, citrus, and even coffee. Also, wintergreen. Bill 80 swears by that one. And it's available in two strengths, so you can control your nicotine satisfaction. And because it's discreet, you can enjoy it anywhere, anytime, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Plus, every can of Zyn earns you points towards premium items like tailgating gear, top-of-the-line tech, Zyn swag, and even gift cards. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. We get tweets. We get texts. This is a text from one, Michael Montesano, who won the Booby Prize. He says, if you put Mahomes' name next to Purdy's stats today, Mahomes would be minus 200. If it's Josh Allen, Allen would be plus 120. He is so right.
Yeah.
And Brock Purdy is 16-1.
Yeah, agreed.
We get tweets. Brad Sports, happy Thanksgiving to you and your loved ones, Gil. Thank you, Brad Sports. Appreciate that. My loved ones need happy thoughts. That's for sure these days. Web 12. Oh, angriest guy in Kentucky. No fooling around. Wanted to tell you guys happy Thanksgiving. One of the few things I do every day. Watch this show and take a dump, he said. I'm just reading.
And then tweet me and Gil individually, not
yes,
together.
That's right.
Roughly, what's the over-under during a show? 11 and a half times?
Oh, easily.
Okay.
Easily. You got to pick and choose with him. Mike Stacks, happy Thanksgiving to you and Kelly. If you had Kansas City available for Survivor, how comfortable would you feel using them when they can't score in the second half? It's like using a Survivor entry on a team who plays one half of football. Seems like a bad idea. Yeah, but if you have them available, they're clearly the biggest favorite on the board. And if you've still got them, a lot of people don't. I think I'd use them. Also, I would have been knocked out twice already. And then Assistant U.S. Attorney Derek... Assume Megapod today, yes. Something to talk about. Jets, Sala apologists blame quarterback situation for the Jets' failure. But how, then, are the Browns 7-3? Reason, Browns make an effort to run the ball and get game to the fourth quarter. Look at the Jets' rushing attempts. I think there's a lot of that goes around. I'll read more tweets because the tweets are awesome today. And happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. I say that about the whole Bryce Young apologist, right? They're like, oh, he doesn't have anybody on Carolina. Really? Were you aware of Noah Brown and Nico Collins and Tank Dell before this season? Like, that's not an excuse for Bryce Young.
Hell no.
because C.J. Stroud is making stars of everybody. Will Hill's a star already, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. He's star of the Megapod and, of course, the Bear Bets Pod, college and pro football versions. He joins us now. How you doing, Wilson? What's happening?
Gil, and especially Kelly, happy Thanksgiving. What's going on? Good to see you guys.
Well,
the angriest guy in Kentucky, he needs like his own, I don't know, podcast. We can give him like an hour show, an hour. It's vacation. It's holiday time. People are on vacation. We can give him just like an hour host of Beast, and I think that'd be very entertaining. I would listen. I tune in. I know that.
Yeah, that's a good call right there. Greg Peterson only works about 365 days a year.
Hold on. What was with the Gil and especially Kelly happy Thanksgiving? What was that all about right there? What was that little slight?
Huh? Well, Kelly's sensitive to these things. You know, I want people, we have a very good audience. You have a very good audience. I want people for the next 2-3 weeks to just constantly randomly flood Kelly with happy Thanksgiving. It reminds me of, it was after Mike and the Mad Dog broke up. Mike was solo and somebody called him. It was like March, early April. Like, hey, Mike, happy new year. And he like flipped out. Why are you saying happy new year? It's early April. So I want a similar thing for Kelly.
Okay. Get it now.
This is also, we did Arnold Handicappers yesterday. I should have brought this up while JVT was on. JVT asking me and Zach Cohen what we're doing for Thanksgiving. And I'm like, I got a show I'm doing in the morning and then watching football. And like, I'm going to go over to a buddy's house for like a little bit, but you know, basically just a regular Thursday. It was his way of like working into like, so JVT, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? He's like, well, I've got this master plan for like turkey frying and everything, yada yada. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like that, you just wanted to talk to get to that guy. Great.
I see. Will, I'm not sure if you wanted me to mention this on air, but I'm going to anyway. It's 26.5 between Iowa and Nebraska. Do tell what you're doing with that.
So I got permission. I need some written consent from gambling overlord Steve Fezzik, but he said it's okay to go ahead and throw it in some 10-point teasers. I did it anyway. I just look at it as like a free square on a bingo card where, like, we talk about this NFL preseason week one where, hey, well, you take these totals, 27, 28, low 30s. If you tease it down to like, whatever, 19, 20, 21, if you go under, hey, you beat me. But there's some 26. I guess there's a 25.5 out there. If you throw it in some 10-point teasers with whatever, some of these big favorites, the Cowboys, the Dolphins, if you want to tease up, yeah, obviously make sure you use as many key numbers as possible. But like at the end of the day, it's a football game. You're going down to 15.5, 16. I'm going to wheel in some teasers and just see what happens. If both teams score a touchdown, it goes over because 7-7 is 14. Somebody's got to kick a field goal. I guess you get a safety. It's Iowa. I guess they can get a safety, but I use it in some 10-point teasers. I don't think it's crazy.
I love it. I love the creativity on that. I think it's a historical thing. You got to give it a try. I do feel like I should say, what could possibly go wrong? And I want to channel Wishnev and say, final score, Iowa 10, Nebraska 6. You know, like, what could possibly torpedo all of these? But that is I like that idea, man. It's the free bingo square mentality. Take a shot at that.
It can lose. Any bet can lose. Like, yeah, that's how I'm approaching
100%. All right. So what did you land on pre-flop college football in terms of sides or totals, sir?
I actually do like Nebraska in that game. Iowa, if you watched them last week, they were very happy on the sideline. They were very satisfied with themselves clinching a spot in the Big Ten title game. And look, good for them. It's warranted. They take a lot of shots. They take the punchline, the butt of a lot of jokes, but they're in the Big Ten title game. I don't know that they have the motivation for this game. While Nebraska is playing to get to a bowl, I think in his first year, it would mean a lot to get to a bowl. They're at home. I just think there's a motivation edge there for Nebraska. So I did lay a money line. I don't want to lay two. With an Iowa, Nebraska, with these two offenses, it could easily land on a point or two. So it's a cheap enough money line where I took Nebraska. I think Oregon State plus 14, it's minus 120. It's mostly 13.5. I think that's a lot of points. I just think everyone's off Oregon State. They let everyone down last week after a lot of people were against on them against Washington. If you look, Oregon State, their three losses by 90 points. This is still an Oregon team that a couple weeks ago against a completely dead USC team, 17-point favorites. They only won by 9. So Oregon State, I think, can run the ball. keep it close. I know on the Bear Bets podcast, Jeff Schwartz, who you've had on, he's in Oregon a long time. Yeah. Oregon's going to roll here. So take that for what it's worth. But I just think that's a lot of points. And sometimes these teams that have national title aspirations, you say, oh, they're motivated. The other team's not. They can also come out tight. And when the other team is fast and loose, they have nothing to lose. And they can just, you know, run a fake punt, go for it on fourth down. So I think Oregon State, that line is a little high. And so Oregon State, Nebraska, and I actually think Texas Tech is a little high against Texas. I'm just waiting for it. We haven't had it. We haven't had that earth-shattering upset. You know, it's got to be coming at some point. It's almost the law of college football where we get that one upset that's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this team lost. I mean, maybe we'll just get through the whole season without it happening. It would be strange. It would definitely be the outlier, but you got to figure one is coming at some point.
I'm totally conflicted between what I'm rooting for, utter chaos or just no problem, no controversy whatsoever, four undefeateds and there's nothing to talk about, because the chaos scenario will have everybody going nuts. And you know, like a one loss Alabama's getting in, like we know how this works. So I can't wait for that. So I don't know. I'm conflicted on what I'm rooting for here. There is a chaos scenario, that's for sure. NFL week 12. This is, and we're going to talk about this on the Megapod a little over an hour from now. I think this is the hardest week by far this year in the NFL. Yeah. You?
I'm with you. I'm going over what the three picks for the Megapod are going to be. I think it's a great teaser week. I know teasers can be a cop-out and not great content, but hey, it's a betting show. We're trying to make money. There's a lot of 1.5. You just, in these low-scoring games, you tease up the 1.5 to the 7.5, and you just kind of forget about them, and you live with the results. So there's a bunch of those out there. I've actually talked myself into Detroit -7.5 tomorrow. If you look at Green Bay's injury report, my goodness, they are all beat up. They played, 2 months ago? And Green Bay, it was in Green Bay, and Detroit was up 27-3 at half. Now you're going to play in Detroit. You're off of a poor performance. You can make the case. Look, the Lions have shown some flaws here recently, but you can say that's the sign of a good team where you can play poorly and still win. I just think that's going to be a crazy crowd. They're going to move the ball up and down the field. Green Bay is all beat up, so you always worry about a backdoor, especially with a bad secondary, but I'm going to lay the 7.5. I mean, most of my bets are tied with Lions teasers, but I don't mind laying the 7.5 there. I think they win that game and win it with some margin.
I love that thinking, because I am totally getting in the mode of, I want to avoid as much mayhem on Sunday as possible. I want to make as many plays on tomorrow or Friday games. Like, I'll be okay losing on the Lions. I'll be okay losing on the Niners. I don't know if these are going to be my Megapod picks or not, in a way that I wouldn't if I say bet Tennessee to beat, you know, to cover against Carolina, that kind of thing. What else besides the Lions? One more.
I did play under Chiefs, Raiders. Kansas City has morphed into an under team. Vegas, I almost called them Oakland. I did call them Oakland. They've actually played decent defense the last couple of months. So Kansas City's not going to pull away from anybody. They're not that explosive anymore. So I think 43.5, it's around there. I like the under that one.
Will, always appreciate it. Not only the Bear Bets Pod, but of course the Mega Pod and Gold Boys. Plug away, sir.
Twitch.tv/Goldboys Network. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Will Hill, everybody. Talk to him in about an hour with Todd Wishnev and Chris Felica on the Beating the Book Megapod coming up. We'll talk more football on the other side. A couple creative markets to look into. Number one seed and beyond next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There is so much to be thankful for. Family, friends, food, and NFL football all week long. DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping your Thanksgiving week full of action. New customers can bet just $5 on the NFL to score 150 instantly in bonus bets. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. That's code VEGAS. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here at Bar Canada at the D. A couple notes. One, Right Angle Sports Twitter handle is RAS Picks for those interested. And also to the question of how low should you bet that under? When should you stop betting? In other words, he gave it out. Michael Craig did the under in that ball game between Georgia Tech and Cincinnati. He gave it out at -150. The answer, and I'll read it verbatim what he said to me, because it was a little nuanced. He said, personally liked it to 147, meaning down to 147, nothing below that. But the official advice, he says, should probably be 148. So there you go.
Gotcha.
So definitely don't bet it below 147. And right now it should be noted that is a consensus 146.5. with the low mark being 146 over there at Wager on the Internet.
Yeah, so we got a little buyback at 145.5.
That was the resistance point was 4.5 points lower. Yeah, that's the thing about Right Angle Sports, man. They move it. They move it big time. And there you go. So we'll do that every week. We did it last year, too, and it's just pretty incredible. You know, it's funny with the crew, too, right? Because the first week that it happens, everybody is wowed by it. By week three, they're like, yeah, whatever. 5-point move. No big deal.
Normal thing.
No biggie. Jason Weingarten is with us. Yes. From under a cloud of smoke somewhere in Southern Cali. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going, Gil?
Doing very well. Happy Thanksgiving. How does Jason Weingarten spend his Thanksgiving?
Hopefully not losing money. Do you ever like rank the holidays you lose the most money on?
Oh, I have not. I'm sure you have.
That is great.
It's awesome. Where does this rank?
Probably number one. I think just with the NFL games, you know, now with the 3-game slate, just historically I've had some memorable experiences, not positive experiences, but memorable experiences on Thanksgiving. So if I had to think about it, I'd probably put Thanksgiving up there as one of the worst. But it's this whole week.
Well,
whole week's a great betting week.
It's a great betting week. NFL, I mean, NFL is difficult, though, this week. I mean,
you have college basketball from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. today.
Yep.
You know, and that's just today.
That's just today. I'm going to a Pepperdine game today at Dollar Loan Center Arena. I'll be in-game college.
You're not going to the Irvine game?
No.
You're going to the Pepperdine game?
Yeah, because I know a kid on Pepperdine. I've been going to Pepperdine games now for, this is my third year going, because I know his dad very well, and I knew the kid. He's the leading scorer on Pepperdine, Houston Millett. I've known him since he was a little kid. So I always end up at Pepperdine games. But yes, it's in-game college betting is really what I will have the most volume on. It's what I talk about the least on the show because it's in-game, right? I have no idea when those moments will be betting this stuff. Thanksgiving is an interesting thing, though, that you bring that up, because I can remember many a Thanksgiving where they were just printing money for people who bet the favorite, laid a lot of points, right? Some Thanksgivings in the past have been just printing money for any bettors out there, casual bettors. This is one of those weekends, right, where we have a bunch of huge favorites, starting with the Lions in the morning, running through the Dolphins the next day, right? Lions, Cowboys, Niners, Dolphins. What are your thoughts on those four games? Have you made bets on any of them?
Yeah, most of my bets are teasers or tied into teasers. Some stuff from Monday. Trying not to go too crazy and ruin another Thanksgiving. But, you know, obviously I can't pass up action. So, yeah, I have some bets. I don't think I have anything particularly crazy. I am personally excited, because I mentioned Dak Prescott last week, MVP race. This is always kind of the Cowboys spot on Thanksgiving. If you're going to get Dak in the MVP race, got to have a big game tomorrow. Brock Purdy, same thing. He gets a primetime game on Thanksgiving to kind of further his case.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some money there. I see a lot of people kind of circling the Brock Purdy wagon. I'm happy about that. I don't think he's a sexy pick, but like, If you want to vote for him, you know, I got some money there, so I'm excited. And then we got Mississippi State. So tomorrow is just a football day all around. I love it.
Love it. Love it. It's the greatest. And it goes into Friday with the Black Friday football game in the NFL. College football as well on Friday. And then, you know, it's rivalry week. It's a great college football week. And the end of college football as we know it, right? Heading into championship week and bowl season and our last 4-team playoff ever. Do you... I mean, how much college football action do you have so far this weekend?
Not a ton. I got some stuff on Mississippi on Thursday. Obviously, in-game betting is kind of where I like to approach stuff. I do have some college basketball stuff for today, though. You know,
please.
I don't normally bet college basketball, but there are obviously situations that pop up. And one of them is today. It happens to be one of my favorite situations, and I think there's like 6 games that actually fit this profile. They have all these weird made up tournaments going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the, the Fort Myers shootout and the SoCal Classic and San Juan Capistrano. I've never heard of any of these tournaments. I don't even know if they're real. But they play like they play third place games in these things. For
yes,
some
they
reason.
Do.
So like
yes, they do.
The Mayan division tips off at 9:30 a.m. Pacific. You get Morgan State versus Chicago State. Totals 144. You know, are they really going to play defense in the third place game in the Mayan division? I'm not even sure where in Mexico they're playing this. I looked it up. It's at a Hard Rock Hotel, but I don't know where. So, you know, I'm taking the over in all of these third place games. You got Colorado State, Boston College. I don't know where they're playing. Sacramento State, Austin Peay. Again, I'm not exactly sure where they're playing. Some of these, one of these is in San Juan Capistrano down by me. Southern Illinois, New Mexico State, Bradley, Texas, El Paso, and West Virginia versus Virginia. I round robin to all those overs because they're third place games in stuff like the surf division final round. Do we even know where that is? I you know, like some of this stuff, it's like a joke, but they're playing these games, so I bet some overs.
So your theory being that despite these are actual games that count to their records, the fact that they have traveled in almost all the cases to a venue to play and they're not going to win the tournament, the kids are just not going to want to play defense at this point because it's, for goodness sake, it's for third place. So you round robin.
Are you getting up to play in the Fort Myers tip-off third place game
are you
on
asking
the day
me?
Before Thanksgiving? Yeah. You know, like, are we playing defense in this game, Gil? No.
No,
we're not.
I don't think we are.
We're taking over 120 in the Virginia-West Virginia game.
I wonder how much these tournaments are like bowl games, too, where the bowls always create a lot of activities and festivities for the, you know, teams and players, too, that, yeah, maybe if you're in a third-place game, you're taking advantage of some of those and instead of focusing more about this game. I'm with Jason here. I think this makes sense.
There was a game last night. Northridge was playing a college that I didn't know existed. I still don't even know how to pronounce the name, but I kept betting on them because I know how bad Northridge is. Have you heard of Lemoyne? I don't even know how you say it. Some Jesuit school in Lemoyne, upstate New York.
Yeah.
A Jesuit school in New York. They beat Northridge last night. I was that Pepperdine game yesterday. I was tilting because I had Pepperdine and they lost and I was grumpy. So I just kept live betting Lemoyne every stoplight on the way home. And I hit every stoplight, which is great because I have like a 20-second timer on my live betting. So it was like every stoplight, live bet, you know, spread, money line, you know, next stoplight, spread, money line, over and over. I was real grumpy. So
you know,
made a lot of money.
Are you? Do you do the Matt Brown pullover to the side of the road and make
the
bets?
I don't pull over if I'm not gonna, you know, like I'll let a bet go. I'm not, you know, it's not that important. There was a Nicaraguan baseball thing where the spreads were backwards once. Where I did actually pull over because, you know, that was crazy. But in general, no, I don't. I won't do something like that. I'll just let it go. But
by the way,
I was grumpy last night.
No, I appreciate a grumpy Jason Weingarten, though. I like when you're annoyed at some stuff. Like, here's my unsolicited Pepperdine advice, and I don't know. I didn't follow it. The game that you bet on, but if they're ever up, and they are up in some games, count on Lorenzo Romar to coach them out of the lead. That he is such a poor in-game coach. Like, it's just, it's incredible. They lose to Irvine yesterday. Pepperdine does 76-60. They were 6-point dogs in that one. Yeah, they got crushed. So you had Pepperdine in-game, you said?
No, I had Pepperdine pregame. It closed six. It was like 7.5. Went 7.5-6. That's why I was grumpy.
Yeah.
Like, got a whole point and a half there.
Okay. Jason, any no Rose Zhang this weekend, right? She let us down.
But there's golf all around the world. Australia, they're playing. South Africa. There's a ton of golf this weekend. I'll probably look to mostly see if I can get anything mid tournament. But there's so much sports this weekend. If you want to avoid your family, there's something to avoid your family with at almost any time of the day or night. It's great.
No doubt about it. My mom was like, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? I was like, not a damn thing. Watching football all day long and basketball and whatever else. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, man.
Happy Thanksgiving. Talk to you guys later.
You too. Jason Weingarten, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Kelly and I coming back to wrap it up next.